Argus, what is a nerd?
You're a nerd.
I mean, sure, I guess. Welcome to the new episode of the Moperville Monthly. Sorry for the delay on this one. Breaking my hips while skiing kinda took over my life for the past month, which is not really optimal. But we're back. We're with Argus here. As always, there'll be spoilers here. I'm your host, MapleStrip, and Argus, hello!
I am Argus. And I too think that Grievous' bodily harm is inconvenient.
Yeah, bodily harm is quite inconvenient, I agree. Today we'll have a very special episode, because in order to celebrate the new year, which was
three months ago,
of course, in order to celebrate a new decade, in fact, we're going to talk about all the best webcomics, like all the best webcomics of the past 10 years. Or, as I would say,
a number of them. Webcomics are difficult to discuss exhaustively. It's a large medium.
We're just going to talk about some of our favorite webcomics, and that's going to be fun. But before we get to that, I wanted to ask, I want to start off with some of our Elgin and Shive news. And Argus, when did you start reading Elgin and Shive?
I don't actually remember. I suspect close to the start of my, like, reading webcomics phase, which would be almost 15 years ago now. I suspect my first reading was somewhere around the Grace's birthday party arc.
Oh, wow. Nice. Very
old-time.
I
seem to recall something like that. But I also know that I stopped reading it for a while, and I haven't been part of the community until fairly recently. I've just been reading on my own and maybe talking about it with some IRL friends, etc.
Because I do remember back when we talked about webcomics when I visited Sweden last year. You mentioned you read a lot of webcomics back in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, a lot and a lot. Like, you're a teenager, you have a lot of energy, you have a lot of focus, you have a lot of time, and you just kind of pour all of that into reading probably several hundred webcomics. I don't remember because it kind of took over my life and I deleted all of my bookmarks. Just sort of regained control a bit. As can happen when you have a strong interest and might be a little bit neurodivergent.
Yeah, I can imagine why you wouldn't remember how and why exactly you came across Elgin and Shive.
Yeah, no, it's a good webcomic, but like I said, I did stop reading it for a while. I like it a lot, still.
How long did you stop reading it for?
Not sure. Probably just a couple years.
Okay.
I'm not even sure that was during the break. At some point, I'm pretty sure I took a break from reading Elgin and Shive.
You just randomly came back to it as well.
Yeah. I mean, I remembered it. It's all a blur. It's all a blur of webcomic-y goodness.
Well, that's the best description.
Indeed.
As for some of the updates of Elgin and Shive in the past month and a half, I suppose. The last time we left this off was just before Sarah got her punishment for trying to put a spell on Elliot, if you remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not exactly the most interesting part of the story arc, but I figured I'd start there.
Well, it's been a party for a while.
It's been a party for a while. More excitingly, Grace can do magic now.
Yes, it appears that the laws of magic have indeed changed, and that Grace can now do human magic, much like that one Uriam in that one panel who was laughing maniacally, I don't know, a year ago?
About a year ago, I think. It was before The Legend of Deanne and The Secret of Sam, so...
Oh yeah, that was a while ago.
That was actually longer ago than you thought. It was really cool to watch Grace be all excited and naked.
Yeah.
A bit over the top, I suppose. Really interesting, because what is Ted going to do with this information? Mm. She should really be contacting the government, I suppose.
Eh. Yeah, I mean, they'll probably learn soon enough. There's a lot of context. Hell,
True.
maybe, what was the secretary's name again?
Lavender.
Lavender, yes. Maybe Lavender will turn out to have figured out something of her own.
Yeah, I don't think it's particularly common for Uriens or St. Julius or anything to just try to use human magic.
True enough, true enough.
Or even transform quite as often as Grace does.
Yeah, well, most of them are trying to blend in.
But the main topic of the past few weeks has definitely been Nurtak. Diane was really submissive towards. Is it the right word? Submissive? Yeah, I think it is. Towards the idea of people being nerds and what exactly that word means. And there's been a whole
Do you
discussion.
mean dismissive?
Yeah, dismissive.
Yes, you said submissive, which is generally a fairly different thing.
I'm too affected by Lauren, I think.
That can happen.
So that's why I also started this podcast off with what is a nerd?
Yes.
A
Miserable
miserable.
pile of secrets.
Exactly. It's an interesting topic because it's also about how people apply labels to themselves, what do words mean, how it varies per context, stuff like that.
Yes. A topic that I generally find quite interesting myself, though, of course, I tend to just make stupid jokes about it.
Oh, I completely agree. I do find it really tiring.
Prescriptivism be like that.
Prescriptivism be like that. Pluto's a planet.
Yes. And also, no.
Lastly, before we move on to other types of news, I wanted to talk about NP because I tend to forget that Elkirishife NP is running every other episode.
Yeah, NP has been having a lot of lesbians, which
Oh,
is nice.
yes. I'm really loving this story arc so much. It's all about Susan playing Fable, or Parable in this case. And the last few weeks has all been about Rhoda and Catalina meeting again for the very first time and just flirting with each other, and it's so adorable.
Yeah.
I didn't see any angel icons, but I did see an angel.
Yeah.
It's very cute.
It's very cute.
I'm willing to just watch Rhoda and Catalina meet for the first time again and again, like a million times, I think, in different contexts.
Well, that would probably be a better version of I forget the name of the movie. Woodchuck Day? No, not Woodchuck.
51st Dates?
That one too. I was thinking of another one with the exact, basically the same premise.
Oh, Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day, yes. I knew it was some kind of small furry animal.
It's a US.
It's a US holiday, I know, but
Exactly.
I'm not US.
Exactly. Europe for the win, I suppose. Last Elkirishife piece of news. The Bunny Cast is coming online again. Have you heard of this?
Vaguely.
So the Bunny Cast is a podcast that began in 2008. I mentioned it earlier in a previous episode. Basically, they just talk about the Elkirishife community back in the day. It was lost, like it was uploaded on its own website back in 2008, 2009, 2010, but all of those links are now broken. But one person who works on it, XT Wolf, has been uploading the episodes again back on YouTube. So
Neat.
I'll be sure to link that in the description.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
So this means we have a rival. It's not just the Morpeville Monthly anymore.
No, a rival.
Do think the two podcasts are very different, but I've only watched listened to one episode thus far, so I can't say too much about it. But it's really interesting to hear about what the Elkirishife community was like back in 2008.
Yes. Yeah,
The
I, of course, don't really know anything about that, as I've mentioned.
Well, I mean, I wasn't even reading webcomics back in 2008. I was like 13 years old back then.
Oh, you sweet summer child.
I was like playing games, and that was all I was doing on the internet.
Ah, you were a geek. gamer then?
Back then, maybe, I suppose.
The most oppressed of all minorities. Or how that goes.
Oof, oof. So I suppose we could talk about the main subject of the episode.
Yes.
Webcomics.
Webcomics.
One thing I did was I asked all of the fans of the show what their favorite webcomics are. And I got huge lists. People just posted like dozens of webcomics.
Well, mostly that was... Oh yeah, there were more lists than the ones you've written down.
Goldrist wrote a lot of them. I actually skipped a few, so I don't have all of them in here. But even the people who didn't list that many still listed at least three. So I think people love their webcomics.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, people who who care enough about Alyuna Shive to be in a server about Alyuna Shive.
Pretty much, yes.
Such as the both of us.
I'm really interested in webcomics in general. That's why I try to extend the subject matter of this podcast a bit further than it would otherwise be.
Webcomics are a fantastic thing, and Alyuna Shive fits very neatly into the broader webcomic world. It is a very queer story. It is a very auteur story.
It's a
big part of the strength of the webcomic is that without the admittedly often useful constraints of editors and any kind of broader help at all, like of the paid variety, an author with sufficient passion and a decent budget, like to live, and a day job, really, can just write whatever they want. And that creates deeply personal individual stories about deeply personal individual topics. Including a lot of queerness. And that is what Alyuna Shive is. It is the Shive story by Dan Shive.
And queerness is definitely a theme in a lot of the webcomics that people send in. And some of our own, of course, too. Questionable content and dumbing of age are, of course, coming up a lot in these lists.
Yeah, they are big, old, popular webcomics. Well, dumbing of age isn't old in itself, but the author, David Willis, has been around for a while.
Yeah, like 20 years or something.
Something like that.
He was already popular with Walkie and...
Roomies.
I feel like I'm missing one still.
Short Pact,
yes.
Yes. Willis started out with Roomies, which is self-admittedly by the author not terribly good, but grew into its Walkie, which is popular and occasionally quite interesting. Before segueing into Short Pact, the last comic to contain a significant amount of probably David Willis's occasional unfortunate things, unfortunate jokes, since he grew up in a fairly...
A strongly religious household, yeah.
Yes, and there's a lot of that in his stories. Again, the webcomics are the ultimate auteur medium, for good and for ill.
Religion has been a pretty big topic of dumbing of age, too.
Yes, albeit from a more
progressive perspective.
Progressive perspective, yes. Excellent.
Yeah, dumbing of age started at about a decade ago. I don't remember when exactly, but it's definitely been the David Willis webcomic of the last decade.
Well, yeah.
It's been listed here by Lightball and Pabio 360able and Skyset as some of their favorites.
Yes.
I definitely get it. It's the only one of Willis's work that I've read thus far. I'm still planning on reading his other stuff. And it's so good. It is really good.
Dumbing of Age is a fantastic webcomic. I tend to go back to it when I think of webcomics that I want to recommend to people, absent any other knowledge, because it is just, it is a melting pot of people from various walks of life going to college and finding out that all of these other people exist.
Yes.
And having to deal with that and learn from that. It is David Willis's own childhood meeting the more progressive side of America, meeting the downtrodden, the atheist, the super wealthy, and the queer. Plenty of the queer.
Yes. And definitely also the depressed and the abused. It's a very, very good story.
Yes.
Also one I have on my own favorites list. We both have favorites lists written out here to go through. One of them I wrote down is Rain LGBT, which was started in 2009, if I remember correctly, by Jocelyn Samara Di Dominic. I know you also read it like a month or two ago.
Yeah, it's a pretty good webcomic.
It has, for me, that's kind of defined a large part of my, well, at least a few years of my life, because it's the reason why I initially started to join a Discord server in general, which resulted in me now being here, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's just a very good comic also about this guy's in a high school, a very religious high school it takes place in, with just a bunch of queer characters all trying to survive in this environment in which they are not treated very well.
Where Dumbing of Age is about leaving your bubble, Rain is about surviving the bubble.
Yes.
And as a result, it often has deep, oppressive feeling to it, for good and for ill. It is a very heavy webcomic. And
it is also genuinely funny. It is very funny, and it is very heartwarming, and it's very hopeful.
Yeah.
But I agree, it's also very oppressive in some regards.
Yes. With struggles both external and internal.
Yes, definitely. Just, it's also generally about life as being transgender. Very specifically. And life just being in a same-sex relationship where that's not allowed, not supported.
Yeah. Other queer webcomics we have on our list here include Go Get a Roomie. Which I've read some time ago, but at some point stopped reading. I don't remember exactly when or exactly why. I read a lot of webcomics, and sometimes some of them get lost. I do remember that it was quite good, quite queer, and fairly not safe for work, just as a warning to all our listeners who might be interested in checking some of these things out. Don't read it at work.
Well, I mean, unless you can read it at work, I suppose. It is quite not safe for work, I suppose. It is really nice. Hope posted this one. Go Get a Roomie. It's very slice of lifey, I feel like.
It's very slice of lifey. And a lot less grandiose, I feel, than many of the others we've mentioned. The stakes, from what I recall, tend to be a little lower. Which is often nice. In terms of queerness, we also have Magical Boy, which I had not read until yesterday when I looked over this list and decided to at least read some of all of them. And all of one of them.
All of one?
Which was Magical Boy.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of this one, actually. I didn't look it up either. What is Magical Boy?
Magical Boy is the story of the descendant of a long line of sacred goddess warriors who beat back the darkness as it intrudes from beyond the world.
Sounds grandiose.
It's just that this particular descendant, while...
So I'm already hearing where this is going. This is kind of like Valkyrie... what was her name again? Saint Valkyrie Yukiuda.
Yeah, it's just that this particular descendant happens to be a trans boy.
A trans boy?
Yes, with all that entails.
Oh, crap.
And he has to fight both the darkness and a power that is at times willful.
Oh, this sounds really interesting and also...
In its
oppressive
aesthetics, so to speak. And yeah, he has a very rocky relationship with his ex-magical girl mother. And that's about all we should probably say about that comic. But yes, you'd probably enjoy it, Maple. Though, do be warned, it's occasionally fairly dysphoric.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm definitely going to look that one up. One on your list is Paranatural, which is also one I absolutely love myself.
Paranatural is fantastic.
It is fantastic.
It is one of the funniest stories, funniest things I have ever read. There are so many pages where you just have to stop and laugh because it's just fantastic.
Zach Morrison might be the funniest cartoonist in our generation.
Yeah. A lot of it is, of course, a lot of the humor is, of course, contextual, but one of the lines me and some of my friends often quote is, "Have you considered getting your kicks in the form of actual kicks?" Because I know a guy. It's me. I'm the kick guy. Let me kick you.
I think I remember that. It's been way too long since I've read this webcomic.
Paranatural is side-splittingly hilarious on a regular basis. In addition to having great characters and just a fairly interesting, fantastical world. It is like ours, unless you have spirit sight, in which case it is filled to the brim with gremlins.
Yeah. It is so good. It is such an enjoyable world to just spend your time in because it's our world, except it's... I love low fantasy like that, where the magic of our world is just slightly hidden behind a thin veil.
Yeah.
Another absolutely hilarious webcomic that someone... that Coldress listed, in this case, is Sword Comic. Have you read that one? I actually didn't...
Sword Comic? Where is that in the list?
It actually wasn't in the list when I sent it to you. I'm sorry about that one.
I don't think I've heard of Sword Comic. Could you describe it?
It is purely a comedy webcomic. It's mostly four panels.
Hmm.
Which is all jokes about swords.
Swords.
Yes, every strip is just a joke about swords. It does have world building going on, but it's just absolutely hilarious with how many different types of swords they think up. And somehow let interact, and it is so good.
Yes.
So that's one I can recommend. I'll send a link to it to you later, I suppose.
You do that.
One of the webcomics I have on my list, one webcomic that actually came out in 2019, I think it was, last year or so, that was Scoob and Shaq.
Have you read that? Scoob and Shaq, is that recent? Yes, I've read it. I've more or less read it twice, actually. I read much of it once and then got bored, and then I came back and read all of it a bit later.
Yeah, it starts off a bit difficult to get into, maybe.
Starts off a bit difficult, absurdist, somewhat staccato pacing, a lot of starts and stops, but gradually grows into a fairly intense, dramatic narrative set in a world that is still utterly ridiculous.
It starts off absolutely absurdist, really weird, and I don't enjoy that kind of humor much at all, with Kermit the Frog smoking weed and Scooby-Doo
with a gun.
Just being
that is the joke in
other.
Several of the early pages.
That's kind of true. Then it goes into this weird Ruby Quest-esque horror.
Ruby Quest is a good comparison point.
Yeah, I just felt like, wow, this is just weird. Not eldritch, like body horror. Like weird body horror just happening to these
weird body horror.
Stuck in a mansion.
Dramatic storytelling. I suppose it wouldn't be out of place to compare it somewhat to Kingdom Hearts?
I suppose not.
And, well, there are jokes you can make on that, but I think we'll leave them off. Leave something for the readers to discover for themselves.
Either way, Scoob and Shaq is the best shonen story of this century, probably.
Quite possibly. You have a point there.
Alright, is there one you want to talk about?
Well, moving on with your list, we have the classic Cucumber Quest.
Ah, that's good. That's good.
A pastel adventure in a world where the shadows are dark, but the colors are brighter.
They're oh so bright.
Yes. It deals with the rising of an ancient evil and the heroes who must oppose it. But honestly, maybe everyone really just wants the same thing. And it's just that there's so much time and shadows that they don't quite see it.
That sounds about right, yeah.
It's a tragedy at times, but mostly it is joyful and hopeful. And unfortunately, somewhat truncated, it went on hiatus for a while ago, and while it will be finished in text form.
Yeah, which is really unfortunate because it's one of the most gorgeous webcomics, really.
Yes, filled with pretty pastel pictures.
The artist who made it is an absolutely awesome artist, Gigi Digi.
Gigi Digi.
She does such good.
Speaking of Gigi Digi, she has a comic on my list as well.
Yes.
The Shard. Each of my webcomics, I have many, many, many favorites, but each of these webcomics, the six that I have listed, have something that shines. Something glorious, marvelous, sublime. And Lady of the Shard exemplifies that like any other. It is a very short webcomic. It begins and ends, probably within a single evening for many readers. It certainly did for me.
It's either the shortest or the second shortest webcomics on this list, I think.
Yeah, that. Quite probably. But it is so beautiful. It has wonderful art, wonderful characters, and a wonderful lesbian love story. Oh, so tragic, yet oh, so beautiful.
Yes, it's a love story between the... Oh, I forgot the words. Between a goddess...
It is a love story between a goddess and her servant, and it is a love story between a goddess and her servant.
It's been a while since I read Lady of the Shard now, I think of it.
It is mysterious, and occasionally very dark. There's some quite awful abuse detailed at places, but still beautiful.
I think it's the kind of webcomic where it's in black and white, except when blood shows up, right?
Yeah, something more like or less. It is black and white, except when it's not.
When there's violence, pretty much.
Violence is a word for it, yes.
But also, the art style in general of Lady in the Shard is particularly gorgeous because it's crafted entirely out of pixel art.
Yes. The art style is perfectly suited for the story that it was created for, and a small size means that connection can be all the closer.
And we do say small size here, but it still takes at least an hour or two to read, I feel like.
Oh, sure. That's very short for a webcomic.
That is very short, but also it's not like it's...
Moving on with my favorites. Patrick the Vampire... He's probably the darkest story on my list.
Yes, a very dark backstory.
Yes, it is the story of Patrick. I think his actual first name is Volodymyr, but he's in the US and nobody can pronounce it. An old sad man who tries his very best to smile every day, tries his very best to live a good life, a safe life every day.
But it's not quite as easy when you're...
It's not quite as easy when you're a vampire.
And when you're dealing with trauma.
Yes.
It is generally, I remember it as a slice of life, honestly.
It is very slice of life. It is slice of life set against the backdrop of unimaginable horror.
I remember it not as healing at all, but I do remember it as very low key, like very...
Yes, often the stakes are quite low, often the pace is quite gentle, but still.
You just constantly know that Patrick's life is just not, how do you even say it?
That at any point, something can happen, and it will be troublesome. Because that's life when you're a vampire. So many things that can toss your life out of order. Be it sunlight, be it blood.
He's such a kind man.
He's such a kind man. Moving down the list.
We could talk about a different webcomic first, I suppose, like Girl Power, which is listed by, who was listed?
Arona Coles and Zen.
And Hope Dominant, yeah. They all list Girl Power, which is very popular in the Algonquin Shive community, I feel like.
I haven't really noticed that. I've read it, absolutely. I like it quite a bit.
It is a very good webcomic. It's about superheroes, mostly women. Aren't it all women? I think they might be all women.
They're not all women, but they're mostly women. There's a couple dudes. They're mostly not as relevant.
It's all about this new superhero, or at least a young woman of...
I think she's in her 20s at least.
Who gets access to a few... magic balls, that's magic balls.
Yes, magic orbs. A set of, was it six, seven? Let's call them iron stones, to those of you who know your D&D. A set of floating, multicolored orbs, which typically hover around her head and grants her a number of vast, incredibly powerful abilities.
Incredibly powerful. Shield orb allows her to withstand pretty much everything.
Pretty much everything.
I didn't get to a point where it didn't stop something, so...
I think I've seen some indications of what its limits might be. But yes.
That allows her to just exist in every... just be present in every context where the other superheroes are fighting each other.
Yes. It's about a young woman... who is recruited by the government to deal with the problems that normal people just can't deal with.
Yes. It's very military.
Which means she's a cop.
She's definitely a cop.
For good or for ill. Oh, my phone is ringing. I'll just turn that off.
Cascade. But yeah, she got... dragged into the military pretty much once she got that power. I don't remember her having particularly much interest in joining the military. Though she is very enjoyable to watch because she just enjoys everything herself.
Yes.
She's constantly excited.
She was quite excited once she saw the salary at the very least.
Oh yeah, that's what got her in.
Yes. Speaking of excitability, Girl Power is... I'm not qualified to tell how good it is, but it is a piece of representation of a character with ADHD.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Sydney, the main character's name is Sydney, canonically has ADHD, and it both helps and hinders her throughout her budding career.
Yeah. It is really interesting how that's represented. But also the fact that she's pretty much a civilian in a military institution makes her, in a high-stakes military institution, no less, makes her always the odd one out.
Yes. Most of the other superheroes have been employed for a while and have the requisite training. Which they know discipline, they know how to use firearms, etc.
It is particularly hilarious with our other main character, I suppose, the gold-skinned...
Maxima.
Maxima, who's always 100% serious about everything.
More or less.
The dynamic between these two characters is probably a big part of the appeal of the webcomic.
Yes, they play off each other quite hilariously.
Yeah. But there are a lot of other characters who are just weird. I remember a character who has 6 bodies.
Ah, yes. Harim.
Yeah.
Has the power of teleportation and the power of cloning, which combine quite conveniently.
And I remember that being really weird, too. It's it's a very enjoyable webcomic to read if you're interested in superpowers.
Yes.
Because they explore them well.
It deals quite a bit with superpowers and the exploration of superpowers and the exploitation of superpowers and so on and so forth.
Now I suppose I'll let you continue with your list.
Yes. Next on my list after Patrick the Vampire would be Paranatural, which we have already discussed. Again, the dominant emotion here is one of side-splitting hilarity. Devil's Candy is similarly very funny, but also has very strong characters. It is a story similar to Paranatural. It is a story about kids going to school and learning about life. But unlike Paranatural, it is not a story where the supernatural is hidden. It is a story where the mundane world is already fantastical. It is a story about a world of devils, who in this context are basically ordinary people, just with horns, or tails, or fangs. Cyclops are a type of devil, minotaurs, vampires.
That sounds pretty cool. This is the only webcomic of your list that I haven't read.
It is a story about monster children going to monster school, dealing with monster fashion shows, monster football, closer to the American version, rather than the football or soccer that us Europeans would be more familiar with.
It reminds me of the anime and manga series Iruma-kun. Just the way you describe it, about a school filled with devils who are basically just humans playing devil sports and stuff like that.
I don't think I know that one.
It's a really fun one.
I'm sorry, I'm not too familiar with most of the animes. I only know the webcomics.
It's not a very well-known one either. What's the big appeal of Devil's Candy?
The big appeal of Devil's Candy is strong, exaggerated character writing. It is about people who want things very strongly and push and pull each other in different directions. It is about growing up. It is about learning about life. It is about making the best out of a desperate situation, quite often.
Oh, that also sounds interesting.
And it's also about grandiose battles, which often come at somewhat surprising moments.
Somewhat surprising moments?
There's a lot of fights, but they're often like surrounded by a story that is itself maybe not that focused on violence.
Well, I suppose I just have to read it.
I suppose you do.
I did try to read the next one on your list, which is Kill 6 Billion Demons.
Yes, Kill 6 Billion Demons, which I recall you didn't particularly like, mostly because of its visuals.
Oh no, I enjoyed visuals, actually. I just couldn't get into its story, actually.
Yes.
The visuals are absolutely gorgeous.
The visuals are gorgeous. I'm not a very visual person, but Kill 6 Billion Demons is so detailed, so well drawn, with so much meaning packed into every page. Everything looks like a metal album cover, and I don't even like metal.
It takes place in this world where everything does look like a metal album cover.
Yes. Kill 6 Billion Demons is a story about a very ordinary girl from a very ordinary world who is suddenly accosted by angels and ends up getting kidnapped into the world of Dark Souls.
That also describes it. Though it is a highly populated world of Dark Souls.
It is a highly populated world of Dark Souls. And beyond that, it is a story about dramatic, violent, supernatural politics.
Oh, yes. It helps that death often isn't permanent in this world. Which just means that violence is just even more...
Well,
extreme.
It depends on who you are, whether death is permanent.
It definitely depends on who you are, and I'm quite concerned about the health of our protagonist.
Yes, she's not quite as immortal as some of the other players.
Being human and all?
Yes. It's a fantasy setting, and there are fantastical creatures with fantastical ways of life.
Yes.
There are angels who will die, but return. And there are devils who may fall apart, but be rebuilt.
The way the world is set up does remind me a bit of, like, yokai. And all kinds of small level demons that just live together in bars and stuff like that.
Yes. It is also, just like every comic, actually, on my list, quite queer.
I noticed I only reached one moment. Literally, I only reached one moment that it was kind of queer, which is...
It takes a while, but it gets pretty gay. It gets pretty damn gay up in here.
I'll probably keep reading it then. I haven't gotten all that far yet, maybe a year or two in. The best scene I've reached thus far has definitely been the drinking contest.
Ah, yes. The drinking contest in the void between worlds against an ancient and fearsome troll.
A black one. An ebony one.
Yes. An ebon devil. Quite a dangerous being, that.
Shall we get to the last one on your list? Which
Shall
is
we get to the
list?
Last one on everyone's list? It reoccurs here and there. It's in my list. It's on your list. It is on Tracy J's list. It is on Hope Denim's list. Homestuck.
Yeah.
What is there to be said about Homestuck? Is there anything to be said about Homestuck? Is there everything to be said about Homestuck?
You do realize that there are some people who really don't like Homestuck listening to this, right?
Well, yes, that's what I said. Is there anything to be said about Homestuck? It's a genuine question.
Well, I guess not much. I'm probably going to do an entire episode on Homestuck at some point.
You do that.
So people can just, you know, skip it. If they want.
It's a delightful story, but yes... like many webcomics, like many stories created by individual auteurs, unfettered by the machine, which, for good and ill, fetters so much of media, Homestuck is a deeply individual work.
Definitely.
Perhaps... the most individual on this entire list. Perhaps the most webcomic-y of all webcomics.
Yeah, I think you can describe it as such. It is the ultimate webcomic.
It is the ultimate webcomic. And therefore, I am not sure there is much to say on it at all.
I suppose we'll just continue to something else. In that case... Though I feel like it's hard to actually overcome the Homestuck. I suppose we can talk about 70,776, which is on my list.
Ah, yes. That would be the one remaining on your list that we haven't discussed. 17776.
Yeah, you've read it.
Of course I've read it.
And do you like it?
Quite a bit, yes. It's not something that shines. But if I didn't have that requirement for my list, it would be on my list. And also, my list would be this entire document.
Well, I'm glad you love a lot of webcomics. What does it mean to shine?
I mean, I described it earlier in the episode, actually. But again, I mean something sublime. Something so powerful that it overwhelms you and absorbs you into the moment.
Oh my god, that's...
And 1776 is very, very good, but it is not quite that good, in my opinion.
Oh, I would completely disagree, because what you just described is exactly how I felt when I first opened that website on SB Nation, and the text changed, and I suddenly found myself on a different website. Then my first thought was, oh god, I don't have time for something like this. And then I clicked through.
Well, that was a bit of a spoiler, but...
Well, I suppose, but it's been out for like 5 years.
1776 is a deeply... It's a webcomic that takes a great deal of advantage of something that El Goon is shy of, and many webcomics doesn't. It is a hyper-comic. A story that uses the fact that it is a piece of data on the internet to break the boundaries of what you expect, what you think is even possible.
It has a very different aesthetic, but of course it does similar things.
And it's about American football.
It is about American football. But it is about American football in the year 70,776, so that's... about 1570 years in the future.
It is that. And football has evolved in quite the direction.
The world of this webcomic.
The world has evolved in quite the direction in the year 17776.
I love it so much. I have very strong feelings about it, because it does take place, if I may give another spoiler, if that's all right.
Yes, yes.
It does take place in a world where everyone that lives right now became immortal, just stopped dying, and stopped creating new children. So everyone that's playing football in 70,776 is alive right now. And how their lives was, what their lives were like in the past 1,500 years, and what,
yes,
15,000 years, pardon me.
It is a story about
culture,
continuing life in a world with no birth and no death. It is a story about the people who struggle to maintain their liveliness, their vivacity, in a world where so little changes.
It is a very philosophical work where it's all about...
And as such, it is about sports.
Because one of the ideas that its author, John Boyce, wants to make clear is that in the end, all that's really left for humans to keep doing is games. Which you can agree or disagree with, but that's basically the concept of the webcomic.
Yeah.
His other webcomic, by the way, now we are talking about John Boyce, the Tim Tebow CNL Chronicles are also really good. Have you read that one too?
Never heard of it, actually.
Oh, you should look it up at some point. It takes place in current day, pretty much. And it's somehow equally as ridiculous in how football works.
Well, yes, this is John Boyce. Besides making apparently two webcomics, he is mostly known for making videos on YouTube where he explains how utterly absurd the world of sports can be sometimes.
Yes, all his sports videos are so good, all worth watching.
How many points would this baseball player earn if we removed all of the times that he hit the ball?
And turns out,
quite
a
bit.
He'd still be the best. He'd still be the best. I think we've reached the end of our own lists. There's still a lot of webcomics that our people have listed here.
Yes, we have Something Positive,
which I've never read.
A webcomic that I've known of for a long time, but I've never read. it is, as far as I understand it, it is a story about, with a relentlessly dark and often transgressive humor.
I know it started in like 2003 or something.
It's one of the old years.
It
has a very devoted fan base, so I'm sure it's very good in its own way. I've just never had the interest.
Two people list Skin Horse, by the way. Tris Megistashani's
Skin Horse. Yes.
It started in the end of 2007 and seems to be in the endgame right now. Though Tris Megistas wouldn't be surprised if it took another year or so to wrap up all the plot threads. It's the continuation of Norbonic, which was really big in the 2000s.
That's not really. Skin Horse and Norbonic are connected, but Skin Horse is very much its own story with its own characters. And in many ways, its own world. Shannon Geraghty writes stories about people who live in a world of mad science. And in the case of Skin Horse, the people who the story focuses on are the ones who clean up after mad science has had its fun. The shadow government's social workers.
I'm still making my way through Norbonic right now, so I can't say much about Skin Horse, but I'm looking forward
Skin
to
Horse
reaching
is
it.
Very hilarious, deeply queer, deeply... It is a story about the people who do not fit into the mold. It is a story where the three main characters are a cross-dressing man, a talking dog... who has quite a bit of trouble at restaurants, as one can imagine, and a woman who is quite literally of mixed race, because she's a zombie, and half her face is white, and half her face is black, and in the middle there's a seam.
Ah, oh, cool, a bit Frankenstein-y.
A bit Frankenstein-y. Huh. And, of course... being social workers, they help other people who don't really have anywhere to go.
It reminds me weirdly of Freefall in how its cast is set up.
Yeah, I can see the comparison. Freefall is also a story about free people who live in a world filled with ordinary people and are themselves deeply not ordinary. But in Freefall's case, it is because everyone else is human, and the three main characters are decidedly not.
Yes. Some other webcomics, a lot of Mary Cagle stuff, like Sleepless Domain and Kiwi Blitz and Let's Speak English, or stuff like Goodbye to Halos, or...
Goodbye to Halos is on our list. One of Pablo 360 Abel's favorites.
I love that name.
Quite possibly the queerest comic on this entire list, to be honest. It stars an invincible trans girl with a complex relationship to her sexuality. I honestly don't fully have a grasp on it myself, and I'm not sure she does either.
Questioning. That's fine.
And is filled with people whose genders, sexualities, and modes of dress don't necessarily conform to any particular norm. On all sides, really. Like, you have a more heroic faction and a more villainous faction, and neither is particularly interested in the heteronorm.
That's definitely true. One thing that I really noticed when I looked through all of the listener sent in favorites, and also a lot of your favorites and mine, to be honest, most of them are hive works, aren't they?
They might be.
Dumbing of Age, Questionable Content, Alcuna Shive.
I found some comics through hive works, yes.
Sleepless Domain and all of Mary Cagle's works. I think Cucumber Quest is Hive works. Patrick the Vampire definitely is. Paranatural is. I think Kill 6 Billion Demons is Hive works. I'm just an interesting team. Hive works is like this group of webcomics that started up in the 2010s. And it's very clear to me that this community right here, it's very important. It's really a big deal.
Yes, Hiveworks is, I don't actually think of it that much, but every Hiveworks comic has its little Hiveworks list beneath the page, usually. And yeah, a lot of the very big and powerful webcomics are connected to that network. One thing I noticed when I went through the lists is that, in particular, Hopedonym's favorites, there's a lot of them that fit into another category. They are all hosted on Webtoons.
Are they?
Not all of the webcomics on that list, but a lot of them.
Probably all the ones that
Cursed
I
Princess Club is Webtoons. Proper Care and Feeding for Your Fountain is Webtoons. I think Magical Boy is Webtoons. Might be Tapas, which is another list, that another one that shows up some here.
Yeah. Those are really two of the big websites that, internationally, those are two of the big websites that came up. Tapastic and Line Webtoon, or Naver Webtoon.
Room of Swords is Webtoons. I'm presently making my way through it.
All the ones I didn't read of Hope Domin's list is on Line Webtoon.
It's possible that you read a lot of Hiveworks comics, then.
I guess so. Webtoon, like, the Webtoon format doesn't really fit very well with me. I did have, like, this period where I read a lot of Tapestic webcomics, so mostly those Gag-A-Day, Four Coma ones.
Hmm.
So stuff like Altered comics from Shenaniganson, or... well, there's so many, it's been a while, actually.
Yes, so many.
Short comedy webcomics, Lunar Baboon, or Awkward Yeti, stuff like that.
But yes, on the lists now that I can see, the ones that we have not mentioned would be Unsounded, a grand fantasy adventure in a world with a fairly unique setting, with a lot of mystical beings that I don't think I've seen in anything else. Bit of horror, bit of joy, a world with a lot of very real horrors, notably including an awful lot of child slavery. Yes,
very real.
It is a story in a dark setting, filled with magic, filled with politics.
Does it take place in our world?
No. It takes place in a world with its entirely own nations, which are all very developed and very all fit into its own thing, with its own, it has its own mythologies, a world with its own unique, history,
their own unique cultures.
Yes, the world of Unsounded is very real, and that is one of the great strengths of the comic.
That does sound quite appealing. I hope it's very, very varying. I hope there's a lot of variation in there.
Yeah.
Diversity.
Also on the list that we haven't mentioned yet, Skin Deep, a comic that I tried once or twice, but kind of bounced off of. I think you like it a lot, Maple?
I've not read it yet.
Ah, how unfortunate. I'm not sure we can say that much about it then.
We've been through most of the webcomics I've read already, but also like Grand Line 3.5. I've not read it yet.
Grand Line 3.5 is one of a number of examples of a very fascinating sub-genre of webcomics. The RPG screen cap webcomic, which is a story, which is a sub-genre started by the very famous webcomic DM of the Rings, which is based on taking scenes from an existing story, usually a movie, and pretending and setting them to dialogue that reimagines the story of the movie as an RPG campaign.
Yeah, I'm doing something like that for Elgin and Shaiv myself, funnily enough.
Ah, yes, you are. The classic example of the RPG screen cap comic, there is Diem of the Rings, which is based on Lord of the Rings, Darfs and Droids, which is based on Star Wars, and yes, Grand Line 3.5, which is based on One Piece.
Yes, I now remember this one, yes.
They all have strong characters, they all have a lot of funny jokes. If you're familiar with the tropes and trappings of sitting down and playing RPGs with each other, they all approach it in very different ways. Another classic example of the genre would be Friendship is Dragons, which is about My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
The one I've read is Stephen and the Crystal GMs.
Ah, yes. I've heard
it's
of it.
It's quite a fun one.
I think it crosses over with it crosses over with Grand Line 3.5 at one point.
All the animation ones cross over with each other. So I think there's also one for Adventure Time. I think there's also one for Adventure Time.
Yes.
Though
there's a lot of them. The ones I've read are Diem of the Rings, Darfs and Droids, Grand Line 3.5, and a significant chunk of Friendship is Dragons.
I definitely need to read more in this genre because I do enjoy it. It's just a very enjoyable
It's a fascinating subgenre and an interesting take on the possibility of webcomics.
Definitely.
And of reconstruction of existing works. It's technically kind of a fanfic, but also something very different. I'm just not used to reading enough fanfic. This is a fairly classic category of fairly classic example of an AU, really.
It is a classic example of an AU, but also it tends to be kind of critical, or not specifically critical, but like analytical of how the original story
AUs
goes.
Can be quite analytical. But yes, it is its own thing. I'm just remarking that it bears many similarities to existing fanfiction genres. Because, of course, fanfiction, webfiction, and webcomics are all intertwined in a complex way that I'm honestly not qualified to speak too much of, because I don't know that much about the world of fanfiction. Or webfiction.
Yeah, I need to read more of that as well. But it would be such a time drain.
Yeah. There's quite a lot of the stuff. It's a lot easier, well, not easier, but quicker to make than webcomics compared to how long it takes to read.
Oh, definitely.
Because comics are you read comics very quickly. I'm not really trying to slight either medium. It is, of course, always incredibly difficult to write a story.
It takes me hours just to create one really crappy strip of my Elgin and Shaiv Dungeons and Dragons webcomic.
Yes.
And it's not even that well done.
And then that leaves... unless you've read Hero Oh Hero, which I've read maybe 30 pages of.
I think we're still left with three ones other than Hero Oh Hero, which I've never heard of, actually. Hero Oh Hero.
Hmm.
Supernormal Step.
Oh, yes, Supernormal Step. I was thinking of it earlier in terms of comics with at least a bit of queer representation. Supernormal Step has some of that. I've read a big chunk of it, not all of it.
Yeah, I think there might be an Arrow Ace character in there, so that's
interesting. There's an Arrow Ace character in there. It's very much your classic webcomic, like, chaotic, deconstructive, reconstructive, variant take on the isekai genre. A character who gets sucked into a new world, kind of similar to Kill 6 Billion Demons, and has to deal with the various powers she gains there, and I think fight an evil overlord. I didn't quite get to the part where they actually fight the evil overlord.
That sounds quite exciting. I mean, isekai is one of my favorite genres, so there's a lot of good isekai webcomics, like Property of Hate and Well, Demon Street is all right, I guess.
Kill 6 billion demons, supernormal step, Homestuck, Earthworld, rest in
Homestuck is the
peace.
best isekai.
That is not, I'm not, I was not talking about two webcomics there. I was saying Earthworld, and then I was saying Rest in Peace, because Earthworld recently went on permanent hiatus due to quite awful events in the author's lives.
That's too bad to hear. There are a few of those that happened in the past 10 years. Always, always sad to hear the bad
Always
news.
sad to hear.
The last two webcomics in this list that we haven't talked about yet are both by brought up by Trispicus Shandy. These are Namesake, which I haven't read yet. So many webcomics still to read.
I'm not seeing Namesake on my list, but
Oh, I forgot to add this one to yours. Okay,
sorry,
sorry.
yes. Namesake. I've read a bit of Namesake. I don't really remember it though. It was a long time ago. I remember it
I should read
was
it as well.
pretty good. Pretty good.
And Gunnacrick Court.
Gunnarkrig Court. Yes, one of the olds, one of the famous ones, one of the big sprawling stories. It has humor, it has fantasy, but most of all, it has mystery.
So much mystery.
The deep and the dark. It is a story that is, in many ways, also a puzzle. It is about waiting and finding out all of the, ferreting out all of the little secrets. The secrets of the court, the secrets of the forest, and the great divide between the mystical world and
The
the world of
artificial.
technology.
The technology, yeah. And how both of them are kind of the same as well.
Kind of the
Or at least.
same, kind of very different.
I love the robotic nature in the school so much. I love it so much. The robotic birds that just fly around and
Ah,
the
yes.
fact that the robots
The
are just
TikToks.
kind of like Dresden Kodak in that regard. It's good. It's really good stuff. Yeah, that's then we've actually had everything on this list. Just realized we don't actually have any Korean webcomics, any real webtoons in here. We don't have Always Human in here either, huh?
No, there are many, many webcomics we haven't
Or
talked
Shoot
about. We
Around.
haven't talked about Digger. We haven't talked
Oh.
about there was one I was thinking about. We haven't talked about Girl Genius.
True. I mean, we have talked about XKCD,
We haven't even talked about XKCD.
there's just a
Or
lot of
really, we
webcomics.
haven't talked much at all about that kind of joke webcomic with no real continuity to it. That's
That's
just
true.
gag a day. Well, not
There
gag
are.
a day because no one in their right mind would. Because very few people have the strength to draw an entire funny page every single day.
Not everyone is the artist of Kevin and Kel.
Not everyone, certainly not everyone, is the artist of the very, very long, very, very old webcomics. Like Kevin and Kel, like Schlock Mercenary. Sluggy Freelance is a daily webcomic, though it often goes on hiatus
It is
and
still
puts
going.
in filler pages, etc.
Oh God. Yeah. There's a lot of webcomics for that started in the 90s and are still going.
Yeah,
So
we
many
didn't talk about
webcomics.
them much today because it was at least nominally supposed to be about the last decade in webcomics. And,
Yeah.
well, while a lot of the more interesting stuff in Schlock Mercenary is recent, a lot of Schlock Mercenary is not very recent.
That is very true. I feel like the last 10 years of webcomics have very much been defined by Hiveworks and by Line Webtoon and by Tapestic, at
Yes.
least for me, and a lot of
Way
those kinds
back
of
in the
groups.
day, I think I used to read a lot on Keenspot, but I don't think Keenspot is very big these days.
GameSpot, alas, it no longer exists. Modern Tales, it's gone. All of these websites, we still, I think even Drunk Duck is gone. But recently, Smack the Chiefs, kind of destroyed itself. But we also always get new websites, so that's fine, I suppose.
Yes, the internet is falling apart. The internet is a constant race of building new things as the old ones fall apart.
I mean, some of the biggest webcomic platforms these days are like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so...
Yes, we haven't talked very much about the comics on those sites either.
Yeah.
The world is vast and full of wonders.
Whether you're reading like Trans Girl Next Door or whatever, there's just so much. There's so, so much. But yeah, there's so much.
Yes.
Argus, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
I should open this other list again. That's a wrap. That's how I usually end these. I forgot about that. Huh. That's a wrap.
Yes.
Where can people find you on the internet, if you want to be found at all?
I think the people who listen to this podcast would probably just be most interested in finding me on the Elguni server. I am Argus on that server. I also have several other... I have several social media, most notably a Twitter, where I am Argus, but I don't talk much about Elgunis Shive there. I have a Medium, where I have written several articles about Homestuck, and I have a Tumblr, where I have written several posts about Homestuck, but again, this is for Elgunis Shive people, so I'm not sure those are as interesting.
I mean, who doesn't love Homestuck, right?
Who doesn't?
Honestly, you should do your own podcast with your voice and your grandiose storytelling and your pacing.
I have considered the possibility. I've also considered trying to read things aloud and record them.
It's good stuff.
Perhaps one day I'll get to it.
You can find me on my own website, maplestrip.space. You can find me on Twitter, as maplestrip. Of course, you can find me on the Discord server. This podcast is pretty much published on literally all podcasting apps, so you can find this everywhere.
That's useful.
The music you're listening to right now is Our Heroes by Sister Parish.
I'm not
next
listening
episode...
to any music at all.
Lol. Well, let's...
we'll add it in post, I know.
The next episode is going to be featuring Harsh Light of Day. We're going to talk about everyone's favorite Elguni Shive character, Theater Clerk. The playa himself. Anyway, send in stuff. You can always send in stuff, send in music, send in audio bites, and we'll play it on the podcast. And thank you all very much for listening.
Thank you all.
See you next month. All right, that was good.
That was good. Now I find my mouse, wherever it's scurried off to. Yeah. I found it with my foot.